This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Hello, and welcome to our latest edition of Road School Moms Live. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, co-founder of Full Time Families and full-time RVing mama to four road schoolers in my rig. I'm coming to you live tonight from beautiful Provo, Utah, where, and I can finally say beautiful because it's been raining almost all week long. We've had cold, chilly, damp weather all week, and it's been really exhausting, and it's odd to me because during the rally in Las Vegas, we reached 103, and that was a month and a half ago, and now we can't even break out of the 60s. So I'm looking forward to maybe finding a little bit of spring and summer in the next couple of weeks. On the line with me tonight, as always, is my wonderful co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher, also a homeschool and traveling mama to four beautiful kiddos, author and creator of roadtripteacher.com, and we chronicle our travels over at diaryofaroadmom.com. And I am so excited to be with you again this week from Southwest Florida, and happy to catch up with you, KT, wherever you're at. I guess I didn't hear the beginning of where you are tonight.
I mentioned I'm in Provo. Which
are
is
you
really
saying
nice chilly?
It's chilly-ish where you are? Is that what you were saying?
It is. We're having a hard time breaking out of the 60s. I'm constantly in long pants and a jacket, almost threatening to put on socks at any given moment. You know, it's completely foreign to me. So it'd be, just be nice for it to be warm again.
Yeah. I noticed another road school mom, Laura Hamilton's pictures yesterday, I think it was, and they had on coats. So I was like, ooh, they're chilly where they're at, too. It's funny to me because we are in the several days of 90-degree weather kind of a place. So definitely warmish where we are.
Ooh, yeah, I'm a little bit jealous. But I guess I shouldn't be complaining because Texas and Oklahoma is being deluged with rain. And I know that a lot of our road school moms are experiencing flooding and in some cases, unfortunate property loss. What's going on in the Midwest is just crazy right now.
It is. It's scary, too, and it's something that we've talked about so many times. You know, our mantra, don't be scared, be prepared, and we joke about it a lot, but it really does hold true in a lot of different places. And I was reading on one of the it was a full-time family members, one of the Facebook groups, someone talking about just how quickly it can happen. It really can happen, especially if it's raining overnight. You know, you can go to bed knowing it's going to rain quite a bit, but, you know, you wake up and it's past your door or whatever. It's a little bit too late to do anything about it. So being prepared is the key no matter what kind of weather conditions we're talking about, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's ironic because in this show we're going to be talking with a very adventurous couple. He even survived that earthquake on Everest. I'm really excited to call any information he has to give us how to survive an emergency situation like that. But before then, I'd like to talk about what's going on at Full Time Families. As you know, Mary Beth and I are joining forces yet again to host the Not Back to School Road School Convention. And this week we've had a bunch of families sign on. Did you see that list? It's growing every day.
I know, it's growing, and we're so excited. We have officially started the countdown in our rig of how many days it is till the rally until we can meet up with all of our FTS families. And, of course, you guys, we're very excited about getting back there. And if you remember right, there's only 40 spots available in the rally, right, Kimberly? So if you're
planning on
going, now's the time to sign up.
That's correct, and 17 of those spots are taken, so we're almost at the halfway point. That's probably by the end of this long holiday weekend, we'll be at the halfway point for sold out. So if you were thinking about getting in on this event, please, by all means, take a moment to go to fulltimefamilies.com And right there on the slider, you'll see how to register, and go ahead and reserve your spot so you can make sure you get that. Let me see what else is going on at Full Time Families. This week we published some information about GMOs on the road. If you're not familiar with those, that's genetically modified organisms. There's a debate as to whether that is healthy food to eat or not. I know that there's a big debate that people would like their GMO food to be labeled so that we can make informed choices about what we're putting into our bodies. And many years ago, we published a magazine called Full Time Families Magazine, and we had our own health editor. And so Daryl Hall, our health editor, created that Avoiding GMOs on the Road article, and it's a great article. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to read it. Another wonderful article that we just put up there is Understanding How Your RV Refrigerator Works. RV refrigerators are considerably different than regular refrigerators. First of all, they work on gases to cool them as opposed to compressors and motors that household refrigerators use. And knowing how that works in your rig makes a huge difference on getting that lifespan of your refrigerator as long as possible, and the considerations necessary if you're going to replace that refrigerator. So you can go there and find that article too. And as you know, we've dared people across this country to dance. We dare you to dance in national parks. It's the 100th anniversary of our national park system, and we are hoping that you are so excited about national parks, just like we are, that you'll take 30 seconds to a minute and film yourself and your family dancing. And so this week I saw a bunch of dancing families, and after they dance, they can then dare other families to dance. So I saw that the Reyes family dancing, and I saw the Gebbia family dancing, and I saw the Simpson Six family dancing. So I'm really liking how this is going. It's so fun to watch these dancing videos.
Yeah, you know, you don't know this because we haven't caught up in the last couple of days, but we actually made a trip down to the Gulf Coast portion of Everglades National Park yesterday, and the Road School 101 crew dared to dance at that visitor center down there at Everglades, and we got in on the Junior Ranger program, and we just haven't put together a video, so we'll be posting that probably sometime tomorrow.
I can't wait to see it. That's fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Isn't it funny? I thought we've been here. This is the third winter, I think, third or fourth. I'm starting to lose track. Winter that we've been here. And why in heaven's name, as much as we talk about, you know, national parks and our trek, you know, because that's kind of on our radar right now about the national park thing. And, you know, I don't know why I didn't even think about Everglades. So a couple of days ago, Tanner says, why haven't we ever went to the Everglades and done the Junior Ranger program? I don't know, Tanner. That's a great question. So that's what we done yesterday.
You know, it's funny you say that, Mary Beth, because we lived in Florida for 10 years, and we still have never gone to Everglades National Park. Just
you
one
know
of
what?
Those things, right? In your backyard.
Yeah,
in
it is one of those things.
Yard.
It is. Listen, we are literally, it took us an hour to get there. That's it. We've been this close this whole time. Surprisingly, the last time we drove through Everglades City, we just went a different way, and we're half a mile from driving by the Gulf Coast, the tip up there, which interestingly, did you know that portion of Everglades National Park, you can only enter it by water. That's why there's not a gate there. We looked and looked for an actual, you know, like sign, you know, how the national park signs are always, you know, a monument or whatever there. Well, there wasn't one at this particular location. And I'm like, where's the sign? We kept seeing signs that said Everglades National Park with an arrow. And then we went in there and talked to the ranger. And he says, well, technically you're not in the state, in the national park yet, because the national park starts in the water. So if you want to get in the water here at the national park, you have to get in a boat. And we were like, yeah, we're not getting in a boat today. So we dared to dance on the very, 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 very edge of the national park. But we felt like that mattered. So Yeah.
Absolutely. It all counts. It all counts. In fact, you know, we say dare to dance in national parks, but you can spread the love for national parks by just dancing outside your campsite, in your backyard. We really don't care. No one's going to, the national park police and the STF police are not going to come knocking and say, this doesn't count. Encourage you to dance wherever you feel like dancing. Just dance. Just get it done. So fun.
That's right. That's right.
And I saw in my inbox a Memorial Day study guide. I'm really excited about using this tomorrow. Tell me about this, Mary Beth.
Well, we worked on that a little bit earlier this week. I'll have to admit that we kind of dropped the ball this week. We had so many other things going on that we didn't get maybe as a complete guide done as we would like. But what we did do, my road schoolers researched where Memorial Day originated and a little bit of history about it, pretty short and sweet history and facts that's pertinent to the holiday, and so that's included in there, and we put together copywork pages from a poem. As you know, my crew has been all about memorizing poetry this year as part of our road school, and so that was Taylor's first idea, was to find a poem, which we did, called The Unknown Soldier, and we done some copywork pages for that with print and cursive. We found a scripture out of the Bible that we thought was pertinent to the holiday, and we also included that if that's something that you like to do as part of your road school. And then, of course, we, because I'm a crazy about vocabulary, as you know, we created a vocabulary word list and gave you some tips on how you can word that, use that in your rig to reinforce those vocabulary and the spelling of those words. And there's a couple of word puzzles in there, crosswords and word searches. And if you're interested, we have, that is what's in the study guide. So that's all included. And on the word puzzles, there are answer keys. And if you're interested, you can check our learning shop, I believe, tomorrow by, I'm looking at my little research assistant over here. She's telling me tomorrow, after lunch, the free printable worksheets will be uploaded in our learning shop that has a little bit of reading comprehension questions and that sort of thing. So if you want to, if you're listening to this on a podcast, never fear, you can send me an email over at info@roadtripteacher.com, and I'll be glad to send you your free copy. Otherwise, if you're part of our 700-plus close-knit family of Road School Moms in our private super secret group, you've already got the link to that study guide in our Facebook group, because I just posted that. And if you're on chat with us tonight, it's also listed in the chat window.
Awesome. I'm really excited. I'm already printing mine out and in quadruple, and me and my four kiddos will be doing this tomorrow. Thanks so much for providing that, Mary Beth. I really love those timely and educational resources that you provide to families. I think they're great.
Absolutely. We're glad to do it.
So I was in Panguitch, it's penguin with an itch, a couple weeks ago. And as you know, Mary Beth, I have a Fitbit, and which means that I have to do a lot of walking because other road school moms like Bunny Arnold has Fitbits and Christy Smith has a Fitbit, and we all compete. We all connect on Fitbit.com and compete with each other for the amount of activity we can do in any given day. Now, as a side note, I will tell you that Chris got a Fitbit on Thursday, and yesterday he walked 6 miles in an effort to beat Bunny. So it's a very motivating, overpriced watch is what it is, but it's very fun anyway. So Clementine and I were out doing my walks so that I could get my 10,000 steps, because Clementine is super supportive of me getting my 10,000 steps every night, and we came across a very interesting couple that was moving their stuff into a cabin at the campground we were at. And something, you know, first of all, in our lifestyle, we have the opportunity to talk to a lot of people. And Mary Beth and I have never met a stranger. And so we talk to lots of people. But something about this particular couple said in my head, you know, there's a story here. We need to talk to this couple. So we started talking to the couple. And it turns out that Randall and Catherine are from the Orem area in Utah, and that just 24 hours prior to me meeting him, Randall had finally made his way back to the States after an ordeal in Nepal. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, several weeks ago, Nepal experienced a catastrophic earthquake, and Randall was hiking Everest when it happened. So, as you can imagine, my mouth dropped to the floor, and I put my listening ears on, and what an interesting story he had to share. Then, Catherine has an interesting story by her own right. She is launching a brand new website that I can't wait to share with our Road School moms because I know they're going to love it. So I asked them to be on the show, and they agreed. So I'm very pleased to announce Randall and Catherine Erkenbrack. Thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you. Kimberly, how are you doing?
Hi, good to talk to you again, guys. I'm really excited to share your story with our listeners. Clementine and I, who you met in Panguitch when we were together, have not stopped talking about the chance meeting that we had with you guys and how much we wanted to actually be able to connect more with you all. So I'm really excited to be able to do it on the air tonight with you guys.
Well, we're excited, too. Meeting you is the highlight of our night. You are so interesting, and we loved hearing about your blog, Chicks Without Bricks.
Yeah, it was very interesting. It was kind of cool how we just met, and there was something special about you two ladies, and it was very cool.
Yeah. So, Randall, please tell our listeners how it is you came to be on top of Everest in April this year.
I've had a dream since I was a small boy to climb Mount Everest, and I've been there three times climbing other mountains, and I took my daughter, Haley, which climbed with me in 2012, and we went to base camp, and immediately she fell in love with the Nepalese people and the culture and the mountain. So since 2012, with the support of my lovely wife, Catherine, we have been training all over the world, South America, to acquire the skills to be able to climb the highest mountain in the world. And so me and Haley attempted this year. We left America April 1st and headed to Nepal, went and got into the Khumbu region, which there's no roads, and decided to we were going to climb the mountain, which we were. And that's how it got started, with a dream, and we never gave it up. You know, even though I'm almost 59 years old, I got a great opportunity at 58 and almost three quarters to go with my lovely daughter. So that's how it all got started.
That is awesome, Randall. And I'd just like to say welcome you guys to the show. Tell us, because I know everybody's wondering, you said you were 59. Tell us how old is your daughter?
My daughter is 32 years old and one of the very, very talented.
Her name is Haley Erkenbrack, and she's a professional mountain climber as well as a salon owner, but she has a page on Facebook, Haley Climbs, if any of your listeners want to follow her. She's
an outstanding businesswoman. Besides, she's a world-class climber, and we had the opportunity to climb Mount Everest this season, so it was a great honor. The earthquake, we were at just about to camp too when the earthquake struck at about 21,500 feet, and were hit with avalanches. And subsequently, I ingested or breathed in a lot of ice and snow, and got edema, high altitude pulmonary edema, which is water on your lungs. And spent 18 miserable hours at camp too, suffocating slowly, and was airlifted out of there. And I left my beautiful daughter behind, and I was in really bad shape, and I didn't know if I'd ever see her again. And I took me to base camp, where some of our climbers had lost their lives, and it was a very, very tragic thing. But for me and Catherine and Haley, it's the love of the people, and we're going to go give back to the Nepalese people. So it's not the end of a thing. It's really the beginning of a love story between us and the Nepalese and our families. So we've had so much support. People don't even know me, hug me, little kids, and the outpouring of love has just been unbelievable. So as tragic as it was, we're going back with donations. We're setting up a foundation to get money, and we're personally going to go back with our families and give it to the people in the Khumbu region who are very poor, and try to return the favor. How they took such good care of us, we're going to return the favor.
Oh, that's very inspirational and so thoughtful of you guys. Now, on May 12th, when the first earthquake hit and then there were subsequent tremors, did you know what was happening, Randall?
You know what? We were, it was about just after lunchtime. We were between, we were about 2 hours from Camp 2 at 21,000 feet in the Western Coombe, they call it, the big glacier above the Coombe Icefall. And it went up and down. We figured we had been having a lot of, well, of avalanches, but nothing like that. And we knew immediately that it was probably earthquake. And then the sides of the ice and snow started coming off from both sides and kind of hit us. At that point, we didn't know how bad base camp was hit, nor Kathmandu or the other outlying areas. So communications were pretty well shut down. All we could do is just, we rallied together, me and my daughter and the other climbers at Camp 2, and we couldn't worry about what was going on, only to survive and take care of each other to try to get off the mountain. Because we had limited supplies, and our way down the mountain was blocked because the Coombe Icefalls had collapsed and all the ladders across crevasses and ice blocks were gone. So it's kind of very scary. That's kind of what we did. We just kind of worked together to try to survive.
What a harrowing experience. I can't even imagine. When you talked about that you and your daughter had trained for the specific climb, is that something that you talked about previously, that you had, you know, kind of a plan in place for that? Or,
yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah, we did. To climb the biggest mountain in the world is a journey, meaning you got to acquire the right skills, you got to have the right gear, you have to have mentally the right mindset and physically very strong to be able to do that. So more than anything, it was a really lovely journey because we had family support, we got our gear, and we'd spent 2 years in the wintertime here in America. We'd go to South America and climb the volcanoes in Ecuador and Argentina in the Andes. So we were climbing somewhere between work, somewhere in the world, trying to acquire better skills. And so the whole thing is a journey because of the gear you had to get, the mental toughness, and also the physical, besides, you know, the amount of time we had to take 60 days off work and then get all our gear there. And, you know, climbing to base camp took us 12, 13 days. And it's just it's a really physically tough thing. So, yeah, it was a journey.
Absolutely. Now, when you realized that you were – so for our listeners that don't know, many times when climbers want to go to Everest, they enlist the support of a climbing company. Is that right? Did you have a climbing company helping you?
Actually, yeah. I acquired a lot of friends over the last 20, 30 years that were climbers. And so I had a lot of friends that – work for climbing companies or were owners of climbing companies. This particular year, a year ago, one of my good climbing buddies from Seattle, Washington, Garrett Madison, had started his own expedition to go to Everest. He climbed K2 last summer. I'd climbed Rainier with him. I'd climbed Everest on smaller mountains with him twice. And so he invited us to be on his team of climbers, which was an honor because he only takes the best climbers in the world. So that's how we hooked up. It was an expedition because we need support, food at base camp, communications. We had a medical doctor with us and a lot of the world's greatest Sherpas to help us carry supplies up the mountain.
Absolutely. And then once the earthquake hit, you were more or less on your own for a little while, right?
Yeah, we're pretty much with the crew we had where we were at Camp 2. We had no support from down below. So we basically had to pull together and just take care of each other there. We knew we had lost team members or one team member at base camp that had died in the earthquake and subsequent avalanche. But there was nothing we could do there because we at some point were going to run out of food and fuel to melt ice for water. And so we started rationing from the word get-go, and we didn't know how long it would be before they could get the Coombe Icefall secured and the ladders back up. So, you know, at that point, we didn't know if we were going to be there for a long time or not. So we kind of held together, and the Sherpas there were the same because their families that were with us, you know, they didn't know if their families were alive or dead in Nepal or injured or or their houses were destroyed. So it really, we just had to pull together everyone. Everyone there is a team, no matter if you're American, Japanese, Nepalese, we're all equal. We're all climbing and we're trying to keep each other alive. So,
Randall, you've talked a lot of made several comments about the physical training and, you know, supplies that you have to, you know, plan to take with you. How, I just can't imagine, how is it that you mentally train for such an experience? And even, you know, after it happened, how did you mentally, you know, meet that challenge of just surviving?
You know, the mental part is from the beginning for training is very important. And the reason is Everest is a very, very cold place. And I don't mean it's very cold in temperature, but it's a very lonely place. And because you don't have your family around and you're in a tent and there's a lot of downtime, and the mental part can really get you if you're not mentally tough and keep focused, very focused. And I think that the training that we did before, and I'm a farmer, and so I'm used to having, you know, weather, hailstorms take me out, or frost, and it was when the earthquake and avalanche, it was just like back at home. We just had to adapt to try to survive. And you know what? At that point, you can either give up or you can get tough and hook to stay together. And it's kind of weird. There was no option when all that happened. We were just going to fight and try to survive. And most of the people on our crew were in that same mindset. And it's just a thing of survival. So I think all the training and then my occupation actually really helped prepare me for that time where the unknown was there on at Camp 2.
Well, I'm just so thankful that you and Haley were able to get off that mountain alive. And then I know you, after you finally got off the mountain and after you were treated for your pulmonary edema, you had a hard time getting out of the country. Can you tell us how you actually achieved that?
Yeah, you know what? That was half the deal, was to get down to base camp to get medical treatment. But probably the hardest part was to get from base camp to Kathmandu to the United States, because the country, even in Kathmandu, was a disarray. There was not a lot of organization because of the disaster. And just to try to get an airplane ticket, to try to get food in Kathmandu, where there's a million people, to try to get water. We had the same clothes. We had only the clothes that we had had at Camp 2, so we had the same clothes for the next 14 days. We had nothing else to change into. And just trying to get out of the country was way, way difficult. Plus, I was still not well, and there was no medical attention. I had a few American doctors coming to help the Nepalese that actually worked on me in Kathmandu. But, you know, I remember being on the mountain at 22,000 feet at Camp 2, and I just wanted to try to get home to see my wife and my kids. And, you know, life changes and so quickly that I did not tell everybody before I left how much I loved them, and I didn't ask for forgiveness. And you know what? All I wanted was a second chance to come home and tell those people and hug those people that meant a lot to me and tell them. And I believe that's what kept me going, was it wasn't acceptable to die on Everest. I wanted to come home to see everyone. And, you know, it's a very – that even today, it's been a month, and, you know, I'm very blessed, very blessed.
Catherine, can you tell me, I listened to him and I can't imagine how it would be to have, you know, somebody that I loved, my husband, in, you know, in that sort of situation, much less my husband and my daughter. What is it that, how, did you follow their journey closely? Did you get information very quickly from what was happening with them? And how did you cope with that part of being the mom? And where were you at when that happened?
Well, I was in Utah. I stayed in Utah. And I followed their progress on the dispatches of Madison Mountaineering. And also Randall would email me or text me or message me whenever they had Wi-Fi, which was every few days whenever they came to a little tea house and at base camp. But they left base camp the Wednesday before the disaster, Thursday. The disaster happened on a Sunday. And I knew I wouldn't hear back from him until Sunday night, because they were going to train up to Camp 2 and then come back down. And I actually was going camping that weekend with the rest of the children, and we were camping out of Sal Ranch in the backcountry of Utah. And so while the whole disaster happened, we were completely unaware. We were out of Sal Ranch. And, you know, I was just praying every day for their safety as usual, but having no idea until we came out of the backcountry on Sunday afternoon. Suddenly my phone lit up with a million messages. And fortunately, the first one that I saw was the most recent, and it said, there has been an earthquake on Everest and Nepal, and Randall and Haley are okay. So at the same time, I found out about the earthquake, and I found out that they were okay in the same text. And what a blessing that was, you know, that I didn't have to worry. It was an incredible blessing, because there's nothing I could have done at that point to help them. So I was extremely grateful for the way I found out.
Absolutely. That is a blessing, and thank the Lord that that's how it unfolded for you, because as you had said before, you would have felt very helpless to do anything about it, but just to sit.
Exactly.
And watch. But I give you a lot of credit for taking the kids hiking to the backcountry. You sound like a very adventurous family. There's a lot of outdoor activity in your life. Why don't you tell us what motivates you to be so adventurous and active?
Well, Randall and I both love the outdoors, and we love adventure, and we love the mountains and beautiful nature, and we believe that families should spend as much time as possible camping and hiking together, because a lot of bonding happens that way. Especially nowadays, children seem to spend a lot of time with their electronics, and it's more than ever, we need to help them get out there. There's so many wonderful lessons to be learned in nature that I think it's our duty to get our children out there hiking and camping, even though it's a little bit of work for moms and dads to prepare. It's so worth it, and that's what we try to promote.
That's so interesting. Obviously, Haley, in her early 30s, did not just start hiking or, you know, these adventures with her dad at that age. I mean, clearly you've done adventurous things all along. Am I right that this is something that, you know, when they were growing up, what other adventurous things did you do when your children were growing up? Did you camp a lot? Was hiking always the main activity? Or what other sort of things did you do during their childhood?
Yes, ever since Haley was a tiny little girl, Randall, tell her.
My kids, when they were little kids, I took them with me every time. I took my son, when he was 7 years old, to Alaska for 6 weeks to have an adventure. I took Haley when she was a small child. These kids grew up with it, and it's an honor. Now I took them every time I went. I accommodated my son and my daughter, and, you know, it's such a wonderful thing to have your daughter, 32 years old, call her dad to invite him to come climbing with her. And typically, you know, 32-year-olds and 59-year-olds, they don't want to hang out with you. They think you're old. But it's an honor my kids, I took them and instilled that love in their hearts. And that's why I think that we bond and we love to get together and climb. And, you know, it's an adventure. And, you know, Everest is not, for us, it's not scary because we're so well prepared. It's just what we do, but we can't predict nature and things that happen that way. But that's also the exciting part, because we have to adjust. And, you know, if the route got closed down, I'm sure that we could find another way off the mountain, and that's part of the adventure. So I believe in taking kids from the time they're little. And if you'll do that, then they'll love it, and they'll want to go with you forever.
Amen.
Amen. I love that. I love that. And as you know, I took two of my kids this week to Fifth Hot Water Springs and posted our adventure on Full Time Families. And I have a whole bunch of hiking suggestions in my inbox from Catherine, because Catherine is launching a very special website. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, Kimberly. It's hikingchicks.com. but it won't be ready until sometime in June. However, our Facebook page is ready. It's live. It's facebook.com/hikingchicks, spelled with an X. So hiking, H-I-K-I-N-G-C-H-I-X. And so our Facebook page is ready, and we have a few videos also on our YouTube channel, including some interviews of Randall before Everest and after the disaster, and also interviews of other interesting people we meet. The purpose of hikingchicks.com is going to be to encourage family adventure, encourage families to take their children hiking, camping, out doing things outside. And, you know, we're especially talking to moms, obviously hiking chicks, but hopefully this website will be for families also and dads, just to help everyone discover that actually inside of their heart, they love hiking, even if they don't know it yet.
Did you hear that, Mary Beth? You love hiking, even if you don't know it yet.
I do love hiking. I actually do love to hike, and my kids love to hike. It's just how to put it all together for me. What do you say to that, Catherine? What do you say to someone who has all the adventure in the world, has the heart for it, and all? How do you get started? Where do you start?
Okay, where you start is you just need good shoes for everyone. That's really the only thing you really need, and maybe a little bag with a bottle of water and a snack for everyone. That's all you need. You don't need fancy gear. Of course you can get fancy. You can go on multi-day backpacking expeditions and require serious gear. But really, for hiking, you really need just good shoes and just go. Just find a little trail locally and go wherever you are. And thank goodness with the internet nowadays, there are so many resources. You can find hiking trails just about everywhere. And Hiking Chicks is also going to be recommending hikes in the Utah area in the West. Randall would like to say something.
You know, and when they're young, make it an adventure for them. You know, let them explore. Let them play in the rocks. Let them enjoy nature. And then it's a wonderful opportunity to teach. There's always a lesson to be taught your children on a hike or an adventure. You know, a lesson of life, not a lesson of nature always, but a lesson of life. And there's something that can apply to their life. And you know, my son's an ER doctor at Mayo Clinic, and he called me often and tells me, you know, remember when I was five and we had that, you know, there was something come up, we had a lesson of life. I remember that. And so I believe what it does is gives you contact with your children, a lot of contact, that when you see an issue, you can actually, you know, take care of it. And they'll listen to you because you're on an adventure. So I would make all your adventures explore and let them kind of feel what they like to do, and then let them kind of do it. You know, some kids like to look at rocks, some kids like to, you know, play in the dirt, but just let them have a good adventure when you take them and explore.
Yeah, and I love how inspired my husband is. He has the best perspective on everything. I love hiking with him for this reason. Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah, you know, each child is different, you have, and so you have to adapt to the adventure and exploring to fit each child. So when I go, I let each one kind of figure out where they want to go, and then I tag along and enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah. Also, I would say for little children or for those who are beginning to hike, look for adventures that have a high wow to effort ratio. In other words, find short trails. Short, where they can accomplish the destination quickly, but see a lot of fun things on the way or something interesting. Yeah, don't make it miserable for them. Go for the short, fun hikes with beautiful views and bring fun snacks and water. Make it fun so that they will love hiking, and then you can incrementally increase maybe the length of difficulty if they want.
And you know what? You can, like my daughter, I took her on short hikes. Where'd she invite me? Mount Everest. So there's a contrast, you know, I mean, it's a beautiful contrast, but it starts out little, starts out with a little adventure, and look where it can end. Only in your heart you can dream, and dreams come true. I'm here to tell you that at 59 years old, I might go back again. You know what? I'm still a young guy, and I might go back one more time because I don't like the way it ended with an earthquake. Plus, I got work there to do with the Nepalese people to help those people. So, you know what? I believe this is really just the beginning on and a new birth to go do something crazy and exciting. So I'm really happy for the future.
Well, you guys are a serious inspiration, and I'm so glad that we got to connect and really talk more in depth. And I just really appreciate you making the time for us. We have loaded all your links into our chat, and I see your face all over our Facebook feeds, both Randall and Catherine and Hiking Chicks and Haley Climbs. We've got all the links up, so
everyone
can follow you. And I'm really excited about this launch of Hiking Chicks. So definitely, when you get it up, just drop me a line, and we'll share it with the Road School Moms so that they can get
all
involved
right.
in that. And thank you so much for being on the line with us tonight.
Okay, thank you, Kimberly.
It was our pleasure, truly. And it was so
thank
nice
you.
Meeting you. And we hope to see you soon.
Yes, I hope so too. I hope our paths cross again.
Yes, thank you.
Good night,
thank
guys.
You.
God bless you. Bye bye.
Bye. Good night. Was that a story or what, Mary Beth?
Oh my goodness, that was exactly what I put. I don't know if you were watching the chat that I was running, but I was like, what a story. And just to listen to them, didn't you find yourself smiling like you're just smiling along with the whole process of the whole story?
I am.
What an
adventure. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I am smiling because both Randall and Catherine's attitude toward this devastating disaster is one of hope. Right? It's just amazing. It's just amazing how appreciative they are and thankful for the chances they've been given. And such a great lesson in that story. I'm just so excited to have been able to share it with our listeners tonight.
Yes, well, it just goes to prove that what you say is true and that you always are where you're supposed to be. And my goodness, what a story. That's just, I'll be really interested to follow the both of them with this. And I don't know if you've looked at their daughter. I posted the Facebook page link for Haley Climbs, and she has a really cool Facebook page all in itself explaining what she does, you know, as an athlete. So that's really cool. It'll just be really fun to follow them. And I can't wait for Catherine's website, Hiking Chicks. That'll be a great resource, I'm sure.
I know. You know, it's funny because when I first started on the road, hiking was going to be one of our main activities. It's free. And there's a lot of opportunities for hiking in the national parks, forests, state parks, everywhere. But I was constantly on the lookout for a Hiking for Dummies guide because the yeah. bottom line, the truth of the story was that us city folks did not know how to hike at all. In fact, I can recall hiking many miles to a waterfall that was actually many miles in the opposite direction.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. With tired, hungry kids and, you know, sometimes inappropriate footwear. As we talked about with our nature expert a few weeks ago on how to get involved, how to get out in nature but get out there safely, we were woefully unprepared. And as I have a tendency to do, I made it miserable because I'm just that kind of person sometimes. So,
but you know,
don't you find
this just goes right back to what we talk about so many times, and that is expectations. And I love the fact that Catherine said, you know, start out small, go find something that gives you quick results, because I would have done exactly the opposite. Right? I would have had
right.
big expectations. Like, I wouldn't be, let's be honest, what would Mary Beth be worrying about if she's leaving to go on a big hike? Is she worrying about shoes? No. She's worrying about what camera she's taking. That's
her
what
camera.
I would worry about,
that's
right?
Right, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
The most
or
ginormous
what,
thing
whatever.
She has.
Yeah, right? So that just, it really goes to expectations and, like, what are you going for? Are you going so that you can get this awesome, great picture? Because if it is, then go hike by yourself, because you're the one that's getting the pleasure out of that, right? Like, you're doing no one any good by dragging your kids to this great point of wherever so that you can then make them take a bunch of pictures they don't want to take anyway. So
right.
I love that.
I do too.
I think
that,
like,
is really good words. What'd you say, wow to effort ratio?
Yes.
A very high
right.
wow to low effort ratio. I think that's definitely our aha moment of this show. Along with all the other inspiration they shared. I just think if you take one thing away and you feel inspired to go hike now that you've listened to Catherine and Randall,
then, yeah, look for those hikes with that high wow to low effort. We had a very high wow hike at Stiffwater Springs this week. I posted that in What My Road School Looked Like. And I want to give my four-year-old props because he hiked 5.5 miles all by himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
No DJ,
that was
right?
That was a lot of effort to a lot of wow. But we did get to spend 2 hours soaking in the hot springs, natural hot springs up there, which was phenomenal. We went with the Felty foursome and had a lovely time. I took my oldest and my youngest, my two Ds, Dominic and DJ, and off we went because the other two kids were not interested. And now I have finally reached a point where the kids are independent enough that they, you know, whoever doesn't want to come can stay home with Chris because, I don't know, Chris has his Fitbit now. He might want to start hiking. But previous to his Fitbit's arrival, he was not interested in hiking. And so instead of having to pack all the kids up, I could just pack the kids that want to go, and off we go. And it's lovely.
Yeah, that brings me to an interesting question about you and your Fitbits and the big Disney 5K challenge, blah, blah. What do you think about we just had this discussion in our rig because we've talked about the 5K, and as you know, our family is training for our own little 5K in the fall, although we have no idea where that location is going to be because we haven't come to an agreement on it yet. But definitely as a predecessor to what we will be doing, hopefully with our group of Road School Moms next February. But what do you think about that as far as an age? Do you think that that is something that a, you know, what do you think the age limit, not limit, not that we're putting limits on it, but what do you think the age is on that, KT? I mean, do you think Dominic, or not Dominic, sorry, do you think that your youngest DJ could do a 5K run?
So a 5K is really 3 and some odd miles, right?
Right.
And
yep.
I think, again, if you lower expectations, like we always love to say here on Road School Moms, although Mary Beth and I say this over and over again to remind ourselves and our listeners to lower our expectations, if you lower your expectations and make it more of a brisk walk with ample amounts of breaks in between, I think families do 5Ks all the time together. So I don't think that's
yep.
too hard.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. Yeah, I do, because we had this discussion. I was waiting to see what you thought. But, you know, Tanner, we had this discussion a couple of days ago, and I loved his answer. He's always the one that comes up with these sort of answers. He looked at everyone else and said, well, if Tori can't run the whole way, then we'll just have to stop and walk with her. And then when it's time for her, and when she knows she can run, then we'll run. When she can run, we'll all run. And when she has to walk, we'll all walk. And I thought, you know, I loved that. It was just a reaffirmation for, you know, it was that mom moment when I was like, ah, this is working, you know, that he, you know, had that consideration for someone else in the group. So, yeah, I think that it's definitely something that we're planning to do all together. And after listening to Randall and Catherine, you know, just talk about adventures with small ones. And, you know, I posted the link if you're on our chat, the one that we done a couple of weeks ago with the nature expert about how to prepare your family for outside adventures. There really is no age limit on any of that. I don't think you can be too old or too young or too anything. Do you?
No, I don't. I think that you should gauge your outside activities to your group, what your family dynamic looks like. And like Randall said, start small and just build on those things. But I think that everyone should get out there. I see lots of active moms and dads. When DJ was much littler, we had a backpack for him. And although it broke my back, we threw him in there. And Chris and I took turns lugging him all over Grand Canyon and Sedona and stuff. And it's just really important to me that our children have that connection to the outdoors and have that love of the outdoors, because like Catherine mentioned earlier, there is so much dependency and so much time spent on video games and electronics, and it's so easy to forget to go outdoors.
Mm-hmm. It is easy to forget to go outdoors. And, you know, it's funny, too, so many, you know, and again, you know, it's just a lifestyle, I guess, that you choose to lead. And if you live in a house, that's fine. It doesn't make you any less adventurous than we are. But I think about being outside and, and all the places that I want to go and all the places I don't even feel like that there'll ever be enough time for the rest of my life to go all the places that I want to see in this beautiful country. There's just so many wonderful opportunities right around the corner. And like we talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, I'm the first one to bark around about plans and, you know, checking your location and look at the resources around you. I mean, how many times do I say that? And then I have to stay here tonight and admit to you that I've been here now for 3 going on 4 winters and have yet to visit the Everglades National Park until this week.
I know. It is always overlooked. Your backyard is always overlooked. As full-time travelers, we know that when we ask directions of locals, most of them have no idea how to get there because they haven't gone, you know, 2-3 miles out of their comfort zone. Or if we ask locals about a local attraction, they have no idea because they haven't gone. And we're guilty of the same thing sometimes. But you can. You know, I have a really great app for that, Mary Beth. It's called O-Ranger. It's on my phone, and all I do is say find, and it gives me a list of outdoor activities, biking, fishing, swimming, hiking, a list of outdoor activities available. So find hiking opportunities around me, and then I can add how many miles around me I'm willing to drive to said activities, and it will bring up a list. And I have used that over the last almost going on five years this month, for finding lesser known activities and opportunities for outside adventuring. And it's wonderful. So I suggest everyone goes ahead and finds that O-Ranger. I think it's powered by Ford Motor Company. And it's just a great, great application for helping you explore the world around you. I love it.
That's a great resource. If you're on our chat window, I just posted that there. And if you're joining us on Road School Moms and you have your Road School Moms Facebook page open, it'll be there in just a second.
You're so fast. So you're so good with that, Mary Beth. Yeah, the Park Finder, that's what it is. So fun. And then, you know, the other thing I love to do on Spur of the Moment, and this isn't a show about apps, but while we're talking, my other favorite thing to do, Spur of the Moment, apps with my phone, is geocaching. Love it, love it, love it. I know that if I'm outdoors somewhere, chances are highly likely that within a mile of me there's a geocache. And thankfully, most of my kiddos enjoy geocaching as well. So that's something we like to take advantage of while we're out and about and just, you know, just an easy day.
Yeah, you know, we've never had luck with geocaching. You know this. The few times that we've been with you that we tried to do it, we never have the success at it. And I just don't know. Like, I'm better about it now. I understand it better. But if we ever figure it out and actually find what we're looking for, then we'll get the bug, I'm sure. But we just tried to do that again a couple of weeks ago at Manatee. Remember when we tried to geocache at Manatee Park? Remember walking up and down that? And we've yet to find the geocache treasure at that park. I think we've got to find somewhere else. We're gonna work on that.
There
That's on my bucket.
There is a little bit of a learning curve involved with geocaching. There is. And it's best to go geocaching with someone who has successfully geocached before. There is a strikeout factor, absolutely. There's 2 geocaches within 500 yards of where my camper is parked, and we found them both on the first day we were here. So the majority of geocaches are intact and are there, but it does help to go with someone who's been successful at it in the past for your first couple times.
Well, I did go with someone who's been successful in their past, and it did not help me. Clearly, I have to find a new geocache mentor. I'm sorry.
I dare you. I dare you to do that.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I'm just going to tell you, September cannot come fast enough for me. We're almost already to June, right? So we're talking about, what, 3 short months? And we'll be able to not back to school rally. I can't wait.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to, real quickly, I was going to say something that I was talking to someone earlier this week. We keep talking about it, and we keep talking about Branson, but if you haven't taken the time to look it up yet, just know that we are actually, our official campground is the Silver Dollar City Campground. So not only is it our not back to school rally, and we'll have all these fun field trips and all these FTS events going on. It's actually there at the amusement park, so it's going to be in a wonderful place. And if you haven't checked it out, do it soon because there won't be spaces left, and you will be kicking yourself for not joining us.
That's right. And as we decided last week, we are going to be hosting our own Road School Moms 5K at the Not Back to School Road School Rally. And I have been on the phone all week talking to potential sites to host it. And I'm really excited about some of the sites I came up with, and I'm waiting on answers. So I'm really excited. Maybe next week I'll be able to share where we're going to be hosting our 5K.
Isn't it hard to come on here at this time of year, Kimberly and I, and if you've followed us for very long, and if you're friends of ours, then thank you for putting up with us. But if you're friends of ours, then you know that it doesn't take very long at all for us to come up with these wild, crazy ideas, and then we add all kinds of things to it, and then we have cherries on top, and before you know it, you've got this crazy event going on, right? But we have so many things in the pipeline right now over at Full-Time Families and Road Trip Teacher and with our Road School Moms group and everything that we're doing. It's hard to keep all the cats in the bag, right, Kimberly, because there's so much going on.
It is. You know, the blessing and the curse is that both you and I run very nimble companies. And what that means is we could get an idea 5 minutes before we actually employ something, because we don't really have to talk to a lot of people, and there's not, you know, like a CEO that needs to be discussed, and nobody needs to sign off any paperwork. You know, Mary Beth and I could look at each other and say, we can host a contest about silly hats, and in 5 minutes have a silly hat contest going on. So... one of the great things about having nimble little companies.
Yes, this is true. Probably a curse. You're probably right, but that's okay. I'm having a lot of fun, and I'm enjoying every single minute of it.
That's what's important. So tell me, what's your upcoming week going to look like?
Oh, my goodness. Well, our week, of course, is going to be cut a little bit short with the Memorial Day holiday. Although I have to say, if you didn't join us at the beginning of the show, I can tell you that tomorrow we're going to just spend a little bit of time, and we're going to do the Road Trip Teacher Memorial Day Study Guide, just kind of some fun things with that. And we have actually a cookout in our campground tomorrow for the few families that are left here. They've done that, so we're going to be hanging out with our campground friends tomorrow. And then we are actually going to finish up. Because we were at the Everglades, we're going to finish up our Junior Ranger program. We're going to go to a different site down at Big Cypress, and the kiddos are going to get sworn in for their Ranger badge down there, which they're very excited about. And then we are going to put the finishing touches on the Everglades study guide for the state of Florida. So we're very excited about that. And, that's probably will be about a full week of activities for us here at Road Trip Teacher.
Oh, that's exhausting. I, too, am going to be taking advantage of your link for the Memorial Day study guide. I'm really excited about that. Thank you so much for delivering that to my inbox. I really appreciate it. And then we are going to be hiking Mount Y this week. We're trying to incorporate one hike a week, pretty large hike a week. This is 1.2 miles, I think, round trip, but it's mostly uphill. The one time and then downhill the other time, to the Big Y on the mountain here in Provo that is a symbol of Brigham Young University. So that's going to be on our list. So we're going to be going to the Young Living Lavender Farm in Mona, Utah. I'm really excited about checking out what's there and checking out how they grow lavender. I'm not sure what else we'll be doing, but I'm sure we'll find other fun, cool local things to do. We're really enjoying our time in Provo. It's a wonderful city, as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast. If you have the opportunity to come here, I suggest you do, because there's a lot of great things for families to do here.
I have a duck story for you, since we're talking about what we're doing and haven't been doing. So, you know, we've been talking the last couple of Sundays about the baby ducks that were born in our park.
Yes.
And so just yesterday, one of the little baby ducks, two of them actually have decided, because there's two lakes in our campground, not very big, but small lakes, and that's where they hang out most of the time. And if you see my pictures last week in our road school, the baby ducks are, you know, they're walking around the pool, and it was so cute. And my kiddos were like, oh, they're going to get in the pool. No, they're not going to get in the pool. They're not going to, you know, it's got chlorine in it, right? So they're smarter than that. Well, guess what? That's what my picture is in my road school week pictures, is the duck in the pool. And let me tell you that he's very friendly, really kind of too friendly, because he just wants to swim right over to you. It's the oddest thing. And I'm not sure that it's probably the most healthy thing is to have a duck in the pool, but it's pretty darn funny. and it's pretty darn fun. So.
Oh, fun.
Fun. When we arrived at this campground, there was one lone duckling walking around. Mary Beth, it took every ounce of my self-restraint to not go capture said duckling and raise it in my RV. If I thought the dogs would let me get away with that for one second, we would be coming to you live from duckling headquarters.
Oh, boy. Well, you'll have a new one on me because I can't see a duck in our future. Although, here's your road trip teacher fact for the week. Did you know that a baby duckling, the most important thing the mother teaches the babies is how to preen their feathers so that they're waterproof? If they don't do that and they don't do it well, then they don't survive.
Well, that's very interesting. That's a great fact to end the night on.
There you go. So what else? Do we have plans for next week yet? Do we know what we're doing? We have so many things going on. I don't think we've talked
about it. We do
not
have a topic for next week yet. I have got a couple things in the pipeline that I will talk to you about midweek, and you and I can pick together. But just know that it will be something of great interest and should not be missed under any circumstances.
Well, there you have it, Road School Moms. So for this week, we are going to sign off. But remember that we'll be here next Sunday night, same time, same place, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, from no matter where in the world you are. And you'll want to tune in because you never know where I'm going to end up. And you never know what kind of trouble that Kimberly's gotten herself into for the week. So be sure to join us. And until then, have safe travels and God bless.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms. On the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.
The moderator has left the conference.